Hello and hi, welcome to another Slice of Sci-Fi. I'm Summer Brooks, and today we're talking with writer-director Von Stein about his new movie Terminal, which he's written and directed, and it's a very surreal experience, so I will let Von tell us all about it. Welcome.
Hi, thanks very much for having me.
So tell our listeners what Terminal is all about.
So Terminal is a sort of jet black comedy revenge thriller set in a neon lit dystopian anonymous city. That's a load of work, isn't it? So it's kind of two sort of interconnecting stories that collide on one fateful night. We've got two hitmen sort of locked in a flat together waiting to carry out a hit. And we've got a terminally ill teacher who is trying to pluck up the courage to take his own life, but failing miserably, and who wanders into an all-night cafe and falls into conversation with a kooky but macabre waitress. And the two stories begin to unravel from there.
Unravel is an understatement. This is a twisty psychological thriller where the threads of the interconnecting stories, and you said there's two threads. I'm going to venture to say that there's really three. It reminded me of Snatch on meth with hints of Sin City and Atomic Blonde, just from the stylistic viewpoint.
I'm going to be stealing that and using it in other interviews. That was perfect. you've named three movies that I absolutely love, so thank you. It was inspired really sort of by like three kind of unhealthy obsessions of mine. I really love film noir. I love the evolution of noir and what it's turned into, and you know, all these amazing sort of genre tools it has, and you know, what we have with sci-fi noir and the police noir, the hard-boiled noir, the neon noir. It's really exciting. It's a great set of tools to tell a story with, and I really wanted to combine that with a love I have for sort of dystopian cinema and dystopian literature. And I sort of combined those two ideas and sort of came up with this sort of vast anonymous city that I populated with these kind of archetypically noir-esque characters, I guess, and sort of wanted to give it a feel of the dark fantasy of a graphic novel, and to have that kind of exciting, sensationalist, colorful appearance that you see in brilliant graphic novels.
Yeah, and the use of the neon lighting in certain frames, the way it was angled or the way it seemed almost painfully bright, reminded me of a graphic novel. And I wondered, was this initially going to be a graphic novel before you decided to say, nope, we're filming this?
No, it's a really interesting question. No, it never was. My love of graphic novels is kind of it's a slightly remote one. I would never call myself sort of a fanboy of them. I just love them. I think they're beautiful. I think it's an amazing way of telling a story. And Chris Ross, the incredible cinematographer, and Richard Bullock, the unbelievable production designer of Terminal, we really took a lot of inspiration in terms of the palette of graphic novels, and you know, the way that graphic novels can sort of be heightened and sensationalist, and you can create these amazing sort of heightened worlds to tell the story in. And the use of neon was something that I'd always envisaged, and Chris, the DP, really loved and wanted to embrace. And neon has an amazing sort of look, and it, you know, when combined with the sort of classic lighting of noir, but with that sort of neon luster to it, I think it's absolutely beautiful, and I think it fitted the world of Terminal perfectly.
Cool. Now let's talk about your cast. You have Margot Robbie, Simon Pegg, Mike Myers, and one of my favorite British character actors, Dexter Fletcher, and the quirky performances that Dexter put in and that Margot put in are surreal. They add to the level of, I'm going to say, the psychological uncertainty of the performances just adds to the story.
Oh, thank you so much. I mean, yeah, they were unreal. To have a world-class cast like that as a first-time writer-director to, you know, basically, you know, improve my work exponentially was was an honor and a privilege. I mean, you know, Margot is an unbelievably talented actress, a brilliant producer, just a fiercely intelligent woman who just, you know, just puts so much passion and heart into everything she does. And, you know, Annie was a complicated, mercurial character, you know, who's almost schizophrenic in her nature, who is able to embody all of these different, you know, characters and traits at the drop of a hat. And she just nailed it. She was incredible. And I mean, Dexter, as you said, I just think is just the most brilliant character actor and a world-class director in his own right. And, you know, I just think he turned in the most memorable and darkly funny performance in Terminal. It was amazing. And, of course, Simon, who is, a hero of mine, an absolute legend, who brought all of that sort of warmth and brilliant performance to his character, but also imbued it with this real sense of sadness and pathos which it needed. I couldn't speak more highly of them. And of course Mike, who is just a legend, who an absolute, you know, kind of, you know, comedy god, who sort of, you know, brought this amazing precision and physicality and sort of the you know, depth of character to this eccentric janitor that he plays. And, you know, to work with him on this character, to watch him build it from the ground up and elevate my ideas to something so much better was just an absolute pleasure.
And I have to say, you know, without going into any spoilers, the character turns put in by both Simon Pegg's character and Mike Myers' character towards the end, that was startling, and it just added to like another layer to the crazy of the story. So I have to ask, what was the inspiration for the storyline, the way these characters developed and then literally turned on each other?
I'm a huge film fan. I love sitting in the cinema and gasping. You know, I love that feel of the surprise and reveal and twists and turns. To me, as a viewer, as a film goer, are incredibly exciting. And, you know, I sort of, having created this really heightened, you know, kind of crazy kaleidoscopic surreal story, I thought, I'd always thought what I want to do is to push that. I want to create a film where an audience has the rug pulled out from under them, where they get to enjoy this crazy journey and with these unexpected twists and turns. It was kind of baked in from when I first started writing it. I knew I wanted to do something that, where all these disparate narrative threads kind of came crashing together in these moments of real surprise and shock.
So what was your timeline? How long did it take to write and then to get it actually into production?
It was a good 4 years. I wrote the script in what I would consider, like, you know, the real first draft, when you really think I've done it, I've got it down on paper, in sort of late 2013. And I started talking to two very good friends of mine and producers of the film, Tom Ackerley and Josie McNamara, about it. Who are Margot's co-partners. They own Lucky Chap together. And we were runners and assistant directors together in the British film industry. We used to run around making tea and coffee and joking about making films together. And I gave them the script to read and said, look, I'd love for you guys to be involved. And by huge quirk of fate, they at the time were actually living with Margot. She was shooting Tarzan and was living in a flat share in Clapham at the time. And she picked it up one morning off the kitchen bench and started reading it. And we met 2 weeks later, and she said, I love it. I'm really excited by it. Let's work on it. Let's do it. And then she and I and Lucky Chap sort of started really working and finessing the script while we were all away shooting other things. And we kept working on it, kept polishing it, kept trying to elevate it, which I owe a huge debt of gratitude to Margot for, because she was brilliant at it. And then in late 2015, David Barron, who was one of the Tarzan producers, came on board to sort of grandfather the project. And we financed it through Highland Film Group, who were a brilliant, brilliant partner. And in 2016, we introduced the film at the EFM in Berlin. And we shot summer of 2016 in Budapest and cut and did post all through 2017 in Ireland. Very international flavor, this film.
That is definitely an international project, a continental effort.
I was just amazed. I can't honestly tell you. We had the most amazing cast and crew, and everyone, you know, we had big financial limitations, we had big time limitations, you know, but everyone just rolled their sleeves up. They all dived into it. They bought into the scripts and the ideas of Terminal. They wanted to do something, you know, unique and dark and funny and vibrant, but that was a great story. And, you know, we had this amazing kind of opportunity to, you know, we were very anachronistic and, you know, otherworldly. So we thought, let's go for it. Let's embrace the crazy. And, you know, we use different periods, we use different styles, different genres, different eras to sort of create this world, this kaleidoscopic world. And yeah, it was an amazing team effort, an amazing ensemble.
Nice. Well, the movie is available on digital and on demand May 11th, just in time for Mother's Day, curiously enough.
Definitely, yeah. Not one to take the kids to.
Oh, no, but still, you can enjoy it for Mother's Day. Are there any plans to release it on Blu-ray or some other disc format? Because I really, really want to hear a creator commentary for this movie.
It will definitely be released on Blu-ray and DVD. I'm sorry, I'm not sure of the dates. We release, yeah, as you say, May the 11th in selected cinemas and on VOD and digital HD. And soon to come, director's commentary on a Blu-ray at some point, I promise.
Excellent. I will have to check that out because I love director commentary. And there is so much that you guys could deep dive into on this movie. Well, I recommend people check it out for themselves. It is a surreal, trippy experience, but you won't be disappointed.
Oh, well, yeah. So, well, thank you very much, Summer. I hope people have as much fun with it as we did making it, because it was a pleasure, and we're very proud of it.
It's Vaughn Stein. Thank you for your time today.
Thank you.
The movie is Terminal, written and directed by Vaughn, and available on demand and digital May 11th. And we'll be back with more Slice of Sci-Fi right after this.
Slice of Sci-Fi.
Welcome to Tales of the Black Badge, a Wynonna Earp fan podcast. WynonnaEarpPodcast.com. Thanks again for checking in, and I hope you all take care.
Tales of the Black Badge, presented by Tuning Into Sci-Fi TV.
Sometimes you're not sure what to do after you've seen a very quirky movie, one that's a little outside of the typical story structure that you're used to in movies. Sometimes it works, sometimes it doesn't, sometimes it falls right in the middle and you're not sure what to do about it. I liked a lot of the parts of Terminal. Some of it was really too stylish. Does that make sense? Too much neon? I don't know if that's the right phrase, but some of the set design distracted from following the story. I don't know if that's a good thing or a bad thing, or, I mean, it's a storytelling choice. But the performances, Margot Robbie's performance was pleasantly fractured, and towards the end you discover why. And I don't think it's fair to spoil why that happens, but there are clues dropped here and there during the movie where if you're paying close enough attention, you can figure out what's going on. Two of the major twists you don't see coming. You don't see why they're coming. But it's the way it's wrapped up, you're not quite sure if there's a new boss, if the new boss is going to be the same as the old boss, or if there's going to be no boss. And if you watch the movie, you will understand what I mean by that. So is this dark comedy? Is this psychological horror? Is it horror noir? It's not an easy movie to pigeonhole, but it's a unique take on a new and old storytelling style mashed together. So keep that in mind when you check it out for yourself. This past weekend was also lighting up the airwaves. It was the second annual Brian Keene Telethon. The Horror Show with Brian Keene sponsors a charity called Scares That Care. And last year they had a 24-hour podcast-a-thon, 24-hour live stream feed, where their goal was to raise $10,000 for charity for Scares That Care. And last year they did it. And they, because of health reasons, decided to restructure how they were going to do their 24 hours. And they did it again this weekend from noon Friday, May 11th, through noon Saturday, May 12th. And they threw down the gauntlet. They decided to double down. Instead of raising $10,000 again this year, they raised, their goal was to raise $20,000. And to illustrate how much people were willing to pitch in and help, they got to $10,000 in a very, very short amount of time. I think 7 or 8 hours in, they had already reached the 10 grand. And they did get to 20,000, actually 21,000, I believe, was their final tally. So you can go to Scares of Cares Weekend or to Brian Keene's website, The Horror Show with Brian Keene. Listen, I think over the next few weeks, they're going to have certain aspects of that, of some of the performances that were live streamed, but most of them will never be seen again. They were performed live for a reason. The people who were in the audience actually paid to be there, paid for special privileges, special access to witness the madness, mirth, and mayhem that transpired. I did last year. I stayed up the entire 24 hours, and that was, I slept well after that. All I can say. This year, I decided to take a nap around 3 a.m., got back up around 7, and rejoined the fun right as they kicked in the stretch drive and made their $20,000 goal. It was a lot of fun, and I can't wait to hear some of the interviews they did. Scott Edelman interviewed Mary San Giovanni, and I believe that's going to be on his podcast. But I'm looking forward to the interview with Lynn Hansen, which should show up on Brian Keene's The Horror Show podcast next week, I hope. I hope it's next week. I want to hear the rest of that interview. I missed some of it because I was busy recording other stuff for other podcasts. And I came back and I heard the end of it. I'm like, wait, what did I miss? So I will... I am looking forward to hearing the full interview with Lynn Hansen on The Horror Show with Brian Keene next week. And I recommend that you check it out also. But for now, I'm going to go off in search of more horror, more sci-fi. Got a few other things lined up. We shall endeavor to entertain you. If you have any questions or comments, please feel free to call in. The number is 602-635-6976. Or you can send me an email, summer@sliceofscifi.com. You can listen to Slice of Sci-Fi through iTunes, through Stitcher, through TuneIn, and on Krypton Radio. The Google Play is coming soon. That should all be worked out. I was trying to wait until I got the website switched over to HTTPS, which... after some cleanup, should be imminent. I have till July before Google starts penalizing people for not having HTTPS websites. So, yeah, can you tell what I've been working on all year? Oh, yeah, lots of fun. Thank you, Google. If you're listening to Slice of Sci-Fi on iTunes or on Stitcher, please leave us a review. Let other people know that you are checking this show out, and maybe they should do the same. See if they like it and stay around for the fun. You can follow us on Twitter, Slice of Sci-Fi. We're on YouTube and Facebook, Slice of Sci-Fi over there. And of course, we have the website, sliceofscifi.com. Guess what? There's a podcast on writersafterdark.com right now. So go check out Writers After Dark. The first, I'm still filling in the backlogs, technical issues, catching up from Yoda speak I do like. So there's some new names, some old names, horror, sci-fi, comics. The potential guest list for that show will be epic. And right now I'm just going through talking to the authors of stuff I've read recently or listened to the audiobooks for. And I also pulled out a couple of interviews that I did a year ago when I thought I was going to get Writers After Dark started up last year. And believe it or not, they're still relevant. They're still timely. So go over there and check it out. WritersAfterDark.com. I want to thank everyone who is supporting the efforts here and with the websites and the podcasts. Your pledges through Patreon really do help keep things going around here. If you want to add your support, the place to go is patreon.com/sliceofscifi. I'd also like to throw a shout out to my favorite geek rock band, Sci Fried, for the theme music here. If you like that geek rock and roll feel, you can go find more of their music over at their website, sci-fried.com. But that will do it for this episode. Thanks for listening, and we'll be back with more Slice of Sci-Fi next week. Take care.